James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, yeah. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I think we got a good show in store for you. Well, we're going to talk. That's what we always do, isn't it? A little talk, a little music, a little fun, a little frivolity, and all that sort of stuff. Hey, it's a great day here in Southwest Florida. Hope it's nice where you are as well. I think we had a little rain last night. I don't know. Anyway, it is good to have all of you along with us today. I see we got a nice audience already. That's always good to know. And no matter where you're at, I wish you'd shoot me an email. Let me know where you're listening from. GuyJames@theGuyJamesShow.com. I'd love to hear from you. Just shoot us a quick email. Let us know whether you're in Podunk, Utah, or Monkey Junction, North Carolina. I don't care. There actually is a place, Monkey Junction, North Carolina. It's up by Wilmington, near Carolina Beach. Between Wilmington and Carolina Beach, I should say. Yeah. There was this guy that had a gas station, and he had a monkey. Well, never mind. I won't get into the whole story, but it's cute. Anyway, we are glad to have you along with us. We hope you'll give us a call. Join in on the conversation today, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Would love to hear your comments on just any old thing in current events right now. We've got a lot of current events going on. We've got Mr. Bush over in, where's he at by now? Is he in Jordan yet? I think he is. I think he's in Jordan. He had his meeting postponed today. The meeting with Maliki. And I think that's an odd situation. Really odd today. They announced it just, I don't know, what was it, an hour ago, 2 hours ago? That Bush's meeting today with Maliki was postponed until tomorrow. And I really have to wonder what that means because, as you well know, scheduled summit meetings, if you want to call this a summit meeting between Bush and Maliki, a couple of dandies there. But really, summit meetings between heads of state usually aren't postponed on such short notice, unless one of them's really ill or something. But I think something big's about to go down over there. I just think there's an odd feeling about the whole deal when they canceled that with that Hadley memo is out in the open now, and I think they intentionally got that out there so that Maliki would be, so he'd be forewarned what's coming. Looks like we're going to pull our support from him is what I think. I think Bush will. But it really does look like the wheels are about to come off the Iraqi government or the occupation. Call it whatever you want to call it there. It's about to get a whole lot worse either way. And the thing is, will Muqtada al-Sadr end up being the prime minister or running the show over there? How about Ahmed Chalabi? Will he end up in the Iraqi government? He certainly tried hard enough to get there in the government. Oh, having another one of those days with a ticklish throat. Hey, do call us. 866-546-5254. We've been talking an awful lot about the Iraq war lately and all, and American politics and what's happened since the election. We've now been, what, 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks since in one day since the election. And looks like the Democrats are getting things in order. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm kind of glad that the Intelligence Committee will not be headed up by Austie Hastings or Jane Harmon. I think that's a good move by Nancy Pelosi. I've got full confidence that Nancy's going to do a good job. I really do. As you know, I've been somewhat critical of her in the past. But I'm going to throw my support 100% behind her and hope that she does a good job. I think she's capable of it, and I think she means business. We've got a couple of years until the next presidential election. It's going to be so interesting to see what's going to happen there. Who's it going to be? We've got so many problems in this world right now in our country. Do you think there's a man or a woman out there that can lead us out of this wilderness or this trouble that we're in? Trouble everywhere we look. We've got the war. We've got the evaporation of the middle class. Got health care problems. Our national debt that's slowly choking the life out of our nation. Borrowing $2 billion a day. Do you realize that's, what, about $7 a day per person in the United States? We're going into debt. $50 a week? Each one of you? Every man, woman, and child? Who's it going to be, though? Will there be somebody, some Pied Piper, somebody be able to lead us out of all this trouble? Might it be Hillary Clinton? Barack Obama, John Edwards, maybe Tom Vilsack, General Clark, maybe even Al Gore, or someone we haven't even considered yet. I don't know. I'd say the chances of it being somebody we haven't considered yet are slim because of the money factor. Maybe Evan Bay, who knows? Joe Biden, I hope not. What I do know is that it won't be anybody from the right. It won't be a John McCain who is perfectly content to keep our troops in Iraq indefinitely, or so it would seem, even send a whole lot more troops into that insanity over there. It won't be Rudy Giuliani, who would make the Republican Party look absolutely foolish because of his pro-life and stance and because of his lack of what what the Republicans call family values. John McCain's a little lacking on family values as well, if you know a lot about John McCain. Mitt Romney, would the evangelicals put a man up as their candidate who's a member of the Church of the Latter-day Saints? A group that I have no problem with, most certainly. But a group that the Baptists and a lot of the evangelicals think is a cult? I doubt he'll make it very far. I think he's a very attractive candidate for them, but I think for that reason the evangelicals will not embrace him. And I'm wondering if there's any American living today who's capable of leading us into a new era. Maybe an era of prosperity for all Americans, where we once again are the world's most productive society. A leader that will make sure that we're safe from the terrorists inside our own borders. A leader who will see that national health care for every American is a very high priority. Because I know it is with all of you. Who's out there that might fill that bill? Anyone? Is there another Franklin Roosevelt or JFK or maybe a Thomas Jefferson? Are there any of those among us who's worthy of our trust in all these matters of state? Someone who might instill trust and national pride in all of us again? Somebody who make us proud? Somebody whose actions and deeds will cause citizens of the rest of the nations of the world to once again look up to our country? I don't know if that person exists. But if he or she does, I hope we find him. Because we've never, never needed a great leader more than right now. I think there's been three times in our history that we've needed, well, four. When we started, I think it was absolutely wonderful that we had a man like George Washington. Another critical time was the Civil War. Or as a lot of people in the South still want to call it, the War of Northern Aggression. I don't call it that. It's just a Civil War. And again, the fight against the Axis powers when Franklin Roosevelt was their president. And I might add a fourth one in there. Also, I think when the Cuban Missile Crisis came up, I think we had the absolute perfect man in there for the job. God help us all if George Bush would have been there during Cuban Missile Crisis. So now we have this crisis we're in. We have this crisis that we're facing now. The neocons would have us in a perpetual war, a war that they think will cleanse the earth of everybody that's evil, a war that will cause the United States of America to have dominion over the rest of the world, both militarily and monetarily. That is what the neocons think. That's what the PNAC group thinks. That is what they want. That is what they're shooting for. They're every bit as crazy and radical as the people from the radical Muslims. Make no mistake about it. I do believe, this is in my heart, I believe it. I believe the people that were members of that PNAC group are every bit the extremist as are the extremist Muslims. Every bit. I wouldn't trust a single one of them to do anything, because the thing they are after is world domination. Any group that would have the gall, the unmitigated gall, to post on their very own website, but long before this all started, that what we needed was another Pearl Harbor type event, and to have it come true then, is a bunch of crazies. Bush 1 thought they were crazy. Bill Clinton thought they were crazy. The new boy in the White House, frankly, I don't know that he knows what they are. But we do know that they have control of him. That we do know. They've had control of him. They've had their hand up his ass and made him a sock puppet for a long, long time now. And he has done their bidding. Only trouble is, all the ideas of the PNAC group that have come to fore, that have come out public, that Bush has put in effect into Iraq, are crashing and burning now. And we're seeing the effects of the PNAC policy right now. We're seeing it, what it has done to the prestige of the United States of America. We're seeing what it's done to the economy of the United States of America. We're seeing that it's destroying our military. Everything they have suggested has been wrong, wrong, oh, so wrong. And luckily, thankfully, in the last midterm election, 3 weeks and one day ago, the nation finally has come to a realization that they're wrong. Oh, so wrong. In state houses all around the country, gubernatorial races, Democrat prevailed. In legislative bodies, in state houses all around the country, Democrats have prevailed. The House, the Senate, and God willing, and the American people willing, the presidency in 2008. These people have caused a tremendous mess for all of us. A monumental debt, a military that's in deep trouble. Our prestige around the world has been battered and beaten down to where it barely exists anymore. And now they're going to leave the mess to us to fix. And oh, we will fix it. It'll take some time, but we will fix it given that time. I just hope our Democratic legislators will understand that there is an urgency. There's a real urgency. Not only on the domestic scene, but moreover, most importantly, I think right now, on the world scene, there is an urgency. We must take care of this war. We must take care of this Middle East problem. We must solve it. And we must get the best and brightest minds involved in it. And I'm not so sure that this Iraq study group that's out there right now, I'm not so sure that that's the, I'm not sure that that's the answer. After all, look who's on it. Sandra Day O'Connor, Clinton's friend, the lawyer, I can't think of his name anymore. Hamilton. I'm not sure I trust Lee Hamilton at all on this thing. I'm just not sure. I think that they're merely going to make cover for Bush. They're going to give him something where, you know, they'll make a suggestion and it won't be anything so far off from what he would have anyway. And Bush is going to say, no, let's do it my way. You can be sure Bush is going to insist on doing it his way. He is not going to acquiesce to any group. Again, but I'm not so sure he would have to, because I think this is a group that just put out there to try to make him out, you know, prop him up a little bit. But as far as any meaningful decisions in that area, I'm not so sure. 866-546-5254. We do hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you. You know, you stop back and look at the history of this war now, a few days longer than World War II. And they're talking about winning in Iraq. And that's not to mention Afghanistan, which has really gone south on us now. But by any measure you can name, in my opinion, bin Laden has won this war on terror. The towers are down. We've got millions of Americans that are afraid. Americans have lost some of their privacy and their freedoms. Many thousands of Americans are dead. Even hundreds of thousands of Iraqis are dead. Saddam Hussein, a mortal enemy of bin Laden, is in prison, soon to be executed. America's gone bankrupt fighting a war Bush says is a war on terrorists, when for the most part, actually, it's a military engagement of an occupying army against Iraqi citizens who hate them for being in their country. And bin Laden is free. So how much more of a victory could there be for bin Laden than that? Even if and when we capture and kill him, who's lost the most here? Throw it on the scales and see which way it tips. How many al-Qaeda have we killed? How many al-Qaeda were there on 9/11, and how many are there now? We really don't have any way of knowing for certain, but many experts say there are many, many times as many now as there was on 9/11. So who's winning this? We hear the Republicans all the time talking about, well, we've got to win this. We've got to win this. We can't lose. Hey, we've already lost. Why can't we accept the fact that we've already lost this? There is no question about it that we have lost this war. There's no way to come out of this looking good. Bush can keep the troops in there from now till hell freezes over, to quote Adlai Stevenson, but it's not going to make any difference, because we will not prevail in that area no matter what. There's only one way militarily to prevail, and that would be to nuke the entire Middle East, and no sane person would even give that a second thought. Maybe Bush would. Maybe the PNAC guys would. But no sane person would. So what are our options there? I don't see that we have any options except defeat. Oh, we can crank up the publicity machine, the neocon and the Republican media machines, you know, leave and say we won. Maybe even leave and say it was a draw. But however you look at it, no matter which direction you look at it from, we have lost the war there. We have gained nothing, lost hundreds of billions of dollars, lost thousands of lives. We have not gained a damn thing. Nothing. Well, we're going to take a short break. Hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Because the world is round, it turns me on. Because the world is round, because the wind is high, it blows my mind. Because the wind is high, oh, love is old. Love is new. Love is all. Love is you. Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue. Ah, 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 ah,
impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true.
Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. That was a very rare a cappella song, because by the Beatles, if you wondered about that. I hadn't heard that for many a year. Billy Shear sent me that. Thank you, Billy. Hey, we asked for people around the country, around the world, to send us an email where they're listening from right now. So far, we've got one from, let's see, what do we got here? We got one from Lincoln, Nebraska. We got one from Omaha, Nebraska. We got one from Browning, Montana. Let's see, who else we got here? Oslo, London. Now, you people are staying up late. Well, it's not so late. It's only about 8:30 in London, I guess. What else we got here? Jackson, Mississippi. Laredo, Texas. Oh, there's two from Phoenix. So, a lot of you took my advice and sent me, and I hope the rest of you, we'll give you a better list of little later on today. There's one from Caledonia, Ohio. All right. I know where that is. Not so far from my birthplace. Hey, glad to have you along with us this afternoon. I guess I already said that, but we are glad to have you along with us today. Much to talk about. 866-546-5254. We've got Bush over there meeting with Prime Minister Maliki. It was supposed to be today, but it's been postponed till tomorrow. What do you think that means? Before he went to Latvia, Bush said in Estonia Tuesday morning that he would press Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki for a plan to contain the country's escalating sectarian violence. although he refused to characterize the situation in Iraq as a civil war. You know, that's actually getting to be a little bit funny. Did you see Tony Snow yesterday? Describing exactly, he said, no, this isn't a civil war, and then he described what a civil war is, and it's exactly what's going on in Iraq right now, and yet he stood there with a straight face and said that. Wow. Very interesting. Give us a call. Let me know what you think. I had a note here where I wanted to talk about something, and I've lost it. As you know, I'm very good about that. Got a whole stack of stuff sitting in here in front of me. What do you think about the economy right now? All of you that are listening right now, get away from Iraq for a moment. How is your life? How are things with your mortgage, your job, your credit cards? Generally, your well-being altogether. Are you getting along okay? We keep hearing about this white-hot economy. We keep hearing about wages are up, which they really aren't. When you average all the big salaries in and all that, they're up a little bit, but not really the spending power that people have isn't really up. Already they're bragging that this Christmas season is up because people are spending a little more on average than they did last year. Well, that's 1 week. We'll see how that goes throughout the entire season. Hey, I hope it is up. I hope it is. It's not going to be at my house. And I don't know about a lot of you how it's going to be at your house. Are you going to have a lot of money to spend at Christmas this time? Have you got kids? Are you having to tell the kids, hey, Santa Claus is down and out this year? Which is always a difficult thing. But a lot of people that I know are talking about Christmas already and cutting back already. They're not going to travel home for Christmas if they live far away, or, you know, from far away and have to travel back. A lot of people aren't buying expensive gifts like they have before. Most of the ordinary people that I talk to tell me that they're scaling back tremendously. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out. But, you know, there was a story in the op-ed news, yesterday, day before, I'm not sure. But, you know, it was entitled What the Wall Street Journal Will Never Tell You. And there's a lot of things that the journal doesn't put right out there. For example, I'm sure most of you know, but we're averaging right now $1.93 billion a day we're borrowing. The national debt has continued to increase an average of $1.93 billion per day since September 30th, 2005. Naturally, the Wall Street Journal doesn't want to tell you that. But that's, like I said a little earlier, that's $7 a piece a day for approximately for all of us. How long can we sustain that? We've got the economy's larger than it was 6 years ago, and joblessness is still low at 4.7%. And that seems so odd to me, because I do know so many people who are unemployed. It's just hard for me to understand that it's only 4.7%, but I will accept that. But we've got such a problem in this world right now, a competitive problem with China, for example. They've got a workforce of 300 million people that work for $1 a day and no benefits. Imagine that. That's equal to the entire population of the United States of America working for $1 a day and no benefits in China. How do we compete with that? And not only that, but China produces 325,000 engineers every year. That's five times what the U.S. is producing. There's a story in the op-ed news that goes on to say, when Motorola came to China to set up a factory to produce cell phone parts, China admitted them into their market in exchange for the expertise. Within years, Chinese manufacturers were making the phones for a fraction of the cost. Boy, how many times have you seen that? The knockoffs. Wow. I in my office, I have a licensed Ohio State University plaque on the wall. And it's got that little license symbol on it. And a guy showed me a knockoff with that came from China with the very same seal on it. They knocked off the seal, the whole bit. Complete copy of the whole thing. And it's a problem. It's a big problem. You know, the good news is that you can walk into nearly any retail store, examine price tags and labels, and it's clear that China saves consumers a lot of money. And they say that's the main reason that inflation's under control right now. But what does it cost us in jobs? I'm not so sure it's done anything for us. The dollar's at a low for the last, I don't know how many years, a three-year low, the dollar is. So I just wonder how what kind of shape that we're actually in here in this country when we've got China, for example, that they say could bankrupt us with a phone call if they called in their debts. Hard to say. 866-546-5254. I think this is, I was going to talk about something else today, and we had a guest that was going to be with us. And by the way, I do want to let you know that we've got a guest on tomorrow, Michael Shea, who made that great movie, The Red State, the movie. And he's going to be with us tomorrow. And if you can, look that up, redstatethemovie.com, and get some good questions up for him because he's going to be a good guest. I guarantee that. I found myself sitting around the other night when I was watching that Bobby Kennedy movie. Not the movie, but the documentary is on TV. Are you going to go see the movie? I don't know that I will. I have a little bit of a difficult time watching things about the Kennedys still after all these years. Although I did watch that one the other night. But I think this is probably the strangest political era in my whole life. I remember Truman. Yes, I'm old enough to remember Harry Truman, and I remember, not very much, but I remember my father railing about do-nothing Dwight Eisenhower. That's what my dad always called him. And I worked in the Kennedy campaign, and I remember all of the terrible things said about him because he was a Catholic. Pope was going to be running the country, you know, all that nonsense. Johnson certainly wasn't my favorite guy, but he did get some great legislation through. And there was some controversy about him with the Billy Saul Estes problem and the Gulf of Tonkin episode, which none of us knew the truth until it was far too late on that one. Love to know the whole story on that someday. And then along comes Richard Nixon, whom, although he wasn't the type of personality a nation could love, at least he was considered intelligent and competent to be president, something Junior Bush has neither of. And really looking back on it, little did anybody know that Nixon had another side to him that was so devious and even paranoid. And he didn't show that. His paranoia got the better of him, and he sanctioned illegal activities against his political enemies, and you all know that story. And he thought the whole world was out to get him, so he was going to get them first. And who knew? I don't know whether or not he knew about the Watergate break-in ahead of time, but we do know that he did his level best to cover it up, and that's what led to his downfall. Seems like politicians never learn that on that one. And by then, the public had become extremely disenchanted with him, and partly because of the activities of his vice president, Spiro Agnew, who was just an ass. I don't think there's any other way you can put it. Pompous ass. He left office in shame and spent the rest of his life trying to salvage his image, and I doubt history will ever be real kind to Nixon, despite the fact that in a lot of ways he was a very good foreign policy president, and he was the first American leader to realize that we had to do what we could to normalize relations with communist China, something a lot of people had never even dreamed of doing. So, you know, a lot of credit to him for that. And then we had Gerald Ford come along and assume the throne through an odd set of circumstances, having not even been elected as vice president, but rather having been appointed by Nixon to replace, the disgraced Agnew. And Ford, really, for all intents and purposes, was an honest man, maybe a little over his head in the job of chief executive. But nonetheless, he was a guy I respected. I really did. Certainly not for his intellect, but seemed like a decent man. And then Jimmy Carter became president because of his squeaky clean image and southern charm. That's definitely what propelled him into the Oval Office. And I think the nation was tired of scandal. And Carter seemed like a good and a decent man. He was just that, and has proven to be one of the best ex-presidents ever. I think you'll have to agree with that. And his term as president came at a bad time, and the economy went south. And as many of you remember, interest rates went completely out of sight, and a lot of people went belly up during that time. A lot of bankruptcies, a lot of business failures. And even though all of that might have been, he might have been reelected through all of that, had it not been for that agonizingly long Iran hostage crisis that really consumed the last year and a half of his presidency. So along comes this actor, Ronald Reagan. He was congenial. He was media savvy. In my estimation, not so very bright. But he certainly knew how to appeal to the public and the media. He was a great media president. Really, the media ate out of his hand for most of his presidency. His idiotic trickle-down economy was a total failure. And he was plagued by the Iran-Contra arms for hostages affair, where his administration went against the direct orders of Congress not to be involved in such a thing, but did it anyway with the help of the notorious Oliver North. And I believe that Reagan himself would have faced prosecution after his term had he not pardoned those involved in Iran-Contra who might have testified against him. That was a odd time. Cappy Weinberger was one of those people who might have told the truth, but he got off, he got pardoned. And Reagan was famous for being so absent-minded that he didn't even know the names of some of his cabinet members and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and it's believed by many, including myself, that his Alzheimer's was taking hold of him even during his presidency. I was pretty sure of that. I knew something was wrong. And Reagan's vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush, followed him and was probably up to his neck in the arms for hostages affair, but was never really investigated fully, as he should have been, because of the blanket pardons handed out by Ronald Reagan. Former CIA chief Bush really didn't have a clue how to run the Oval Office. The economy floundered during his tenure. And Bill Clinton comes along and defeats him without even getting a majority of the votes because Ross Perot in there siphoned off a few of the votes. And I doubt whether know for sure whether Perot hurt or helped Clinton, but Clinton edged out George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush. We then entered one of the most tumultuous 8 years that any president ever endured. It was 8 years of a Republican, I don't know what else you could call it, but a witch hunt. They'd been waiting for 20 years to get even because of Richard Nixon having been driven out of office. Oh, yeah. Make no mistake about it. And now was their chance because Clinton had a reputation as a philanderer and a womanizer, and he proved to be just what the doctor ordered for the Republican smear machine. And despite being, in my estimation, one of the most intelligent presidents ever. Clinton was foolish enough to get caught in that stupid affair with a young White House intern, which led to him being impeached but not convicted, because the Republicans figured out the impeachment process was hurting them more than the Democrats, and they finally let it drop, thanks to Trent Lott, I would say. And despite all of that, Clinton's presidency was still one of the most successful in American history, with the whole country, most of the country, enjoying great financial growth and prosperity, and the stock market boom like never before, and we actually had a surplus of funds. We had good old Ken Starr in there, the extraordinarily partisan special prosecutor who was appointed to look into a failed Clinton land deal called Whitewater. And that whole thing just ran amok in Dog Clinton, even after he left office. And Starr was a zealot who never should have been made special prosecutor in the first place. But he was being controlled by a group of radical extremist neocons who claimed to be Republicans, but in no way represented the real Republican Party. And after all of that, Clinton left high office very popular, despite his personal troubles. And then the real trouble started. And that's my whole point of this little talk here. We get George W. Bush, cocky, ill-mannered, spoiled little rich boy, son of President George Herbert Walker Bush, and somehow he was nominated by the Republicans to run for the Oval Office, and he ended up there, although there's no question, there's overwhelming evidence that the election was stolen by Republican political operatives who had machinery in place to pull off the greatest political theft in history in Florida. Junior Bush was not elected. He was appointed president by the partisan Supreme Court, and this was probably the most devastating political decision ever made by anybody in the history of the United States of America. Bush assumed office with plans already in the works to start a war with Iraq. He was going to show up his daddy because daddy had always looked at Junior Bush as a failure. And Junior was going to get even. Junior looked upon, he was looked upon as the stupid one in the family. His brother Jeb is reasonably intelligent. Brother Neil, although is an outright crook, was also more intelligent than Junior. So Bush had something to prove, and he set out to do it almost immediately, and he undid many of Clinton's environmental successes almost the same day he was sworn in. He was arrogant enough to not even listen to the warnings given him by Clinton's State Department regarding the dangers of Osama bin Laden. Whatever Clinton did, he did the exact opposite. And what the nation didn't know was that Junior Bush, although holding an MBA from Yale, which he got because of his name, not because of his brain, what they didn't know was that Junior Bush was nothing more than a pawn. He was a puppet, a stooge who was being led to believe he was in charge, but the facts were that he was being controlled by a group of very dangerous power-mad zealots who had plans to conquer the world. Your Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, who else? Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, Bill Kristol, Bill Bennett. Those names keep popping up. And some others. They belong to a radical group called A Progress for a New American Century. And a group so guilty of massive failure, one knows hardly knows where to begin when talking about them. Who could have ever guessed that Junior Bush's administration would attempt to take over the entire Middle East? Who would have guessed that there'd be the most massive corruption in any presidential administration in our nation's history? You know, he started right out with Dick Cheney's secret energy meetings. So secret that the day the notes of the meeting and the participants' names are kept secret to this day. The administration even went to court to keep the whole thing a secret. And later on, we've discovered that in those secret energy meetings, the oil companies actually wrote the nation's energy policy and granted themselves a massive government subsidy. And along comes 9/11, and the Republicans use it for political advantage. They milked it for everything they could. They used the deaths of nearly 3,000 Americans for political gain, and they did it over and over and over again without a hint of remorse or any shame about doing it. And they falsely blame 9/11 on Iraq. They deny to this day that they said there was an association between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And yet there's dozens of audio tapes available of Cheney and Bush linking 9/11 to Saddam Hussein at every opportunity. And they did that in order to whip up the Republican base into some sort of a vengeful fury and propelled our military into a war without any end in sight. They sent thousands of our soldiers into Iraq, ill-equipped, with poor or mostly no sufficient body armor, or vehicles that were totally inadequate for the protections of our soldiers. We all know about those. And we have a totally inept Donald Rumsfeld who overruled most of the military experts that were skilled in the strategies of war and battle, and decided that he, a civilian with no battle experience whatsoever, he knew more than the men whose business it was to plan for military engagements. The man made one foolhardy decision after another that led directly to countless deaths of our precious young men and women, and Junior Bush stubbornly, all along, said, well, we'll stay the course. Stay the course with Rumsfeld, because he knows if he admits that allowing Rumsfeld to plan a war was a mistake, he admits his own culpability in those deaths as well. And admitting a mistake is something a Bush just doesn't do, no matter how costly that mistake has been to our nation. It's Bush first and the people second. Always. They sent us into war on the pretext that they were saving our people from annihilation by weapons of mass destruction. They predicated the war would be over in a matter of days. Remember him saying that? Certainly more, no more than a few weeks. They actually claimed the war was over 3 years ago. Of course, we now know that they knew there were no WMDs in Saddam's possession at all. They sent their own experts in to find them, and they weren't there because they'd been destroyed long ago. Something the UN inspectors were well aware of, and they told the world that. We had Scott Ritter on this program a couple of times that told us that. But Bush pressed on anyway with his plans, just like Scott Ritter said he would. He didn't give a damn what the UN said. He was going to go to war, and that was that. And over and over and over again, Bush claimed that we had to invade Iraq because Saddam had violated UN resolutions. And yet no one held the UN in more contempt than George W. Bush. 2,700 dead soldiers later, actually it's closer to 2,900, almost 2,900, there's no end in sight. And the American checkbook is overdrawn in this war for billions and billions of dollars. Our government's borrowing the money for this war, and our kids and grandkids are going to have to pay for it. And you know the rest of the story. They intentionally out a CIA agent just to get back at her husband for telling the truth. Truth is something these people don't like. That's why they're involved in a massive cover-up in the entire thing. Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, Bush himself, and a bunch of others were in on that attempt to smear Wilson and his CIA officer wife. That's going to come to trial this coming year. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I think we'll hear a lot about it. I don't know. You know, Bush, he's been an utter failure all the way through. We found out the horrors in the war over there were kidnapping and torturing prisoners of war, calling them enemy combatants, and claim the Geneva Convention is null and void where the prisoners are concerned. I'm so ashamed of that, and I know most of you are as well. And now they start talking about Iran in those terms. But I have noticed the past few days that they're backing off of that a bit. I think they're starting to see that Iran may be the key, albeit not the key they wanted, to take care of some of this mess in the Middle East. But I just wish we were free of him. I think we've got 782 days left in his administration. I wish we could be free of him right now. I wish I hope that right after our new congressmen and women are sworn into office, I hope they'll get down to business right away with hearings, find out what the hell went wrong, find out the truth of so many questions that we have about this Bush administration. I hope the Democrats are serious about it. And I know people like John Conyers and Henry Waxman will follow through. I think both of those men understand the value of doing that. They understand that they're bound by the Constitution to have oversight over the government. And my God, doesn't this administration need some oversight right now? There's been none so far. None. How many times has the Ethics Committee met during the Bush administration? And we've had all sorts of ethics problems, including one of our own, Jefferson from Louisiana. But all the ethics problems of Tom DeLay and all that, they didn't meet once. Here we've got a guy that says he's been called by God to do what he's done, and he's told people that. He's got some sort of weird messianic complex that should scare the hell out of most thinking people, and I think it probably is scaring a whole lot more people than it did before. But we're starting to see our way out of this, and I am happy about that. The last election went the right way. I think the American public has figured out that they've been snookered by these people. And that things can only get better. I think they may get worse before they get better. But, you know, I could go on for a long time about this catastrophe, which is known in the Bush administration. And I honestly believe that before it's all over, there might be some of them in federal prisons. And I do hope so. They've committed grievous crimes against the people of America and the people of Iraq. And I believe that if the Democrats have any sense, they'll begin investigations right away. And these people can be removed from office, and examples need to be made of them. I do believe that. Severe examples with maximum punishment, which will hopefully deter future politicians from either side of the aisle from doing the same thing. Either side, I don't care which. We can't go on this way. These people have betrayed the trust of the American people, and the worst part of it all is that they've done it while wrapping themselves in the flag, and I resent that. Very, very much so. Going to pause for a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ooh. 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 Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm going to let it do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. When the big black car said, look this way, he said, hey, that day, will you marry me? Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. But I said, no. One for me. Ooh. And my heart hit a problem in the early hours, so I stopped it dead for a beat or two. Ooh. Ooh. But I cut some cord and I shouldn't have done it, and it won't forgive me after all these years. Ooh. Ooh. So I sent it to a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. Now I won't come back cause it's not so happy, and now I got a hole for the world to see. Ooh. Ooh. And it said no, 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 no. Said no, no, you're not the one for me. No, 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 no. Said no, no, you're not the one for me.
Well, hello, Guy James here with you this afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. So glad to have all of you along with us. Rather quiet Wednesday afternoon, I must say. Hey, how are you doing lately? I guess those of you listening to the program are still involved, but there's a decided difference. We spoke about it, and we touched on it a little bit yesterday. Quite a difference right now between before the election and now. People's actions have cooled somewhat toward politics. You don't hear it talked about near as much out on the street now. You don't hear it talked as much on the news. And of course, we still have the talking heads on Fox and MSNBC and CNN that talk almost exclusively about it. But you can tell that the fires have burned down quite a little bit, and we're down to the embers right now. And it'll probably be until the presidential election gets started real good next spring, and I think it'll be spring, January, February, March, right in there. Well, January isn't spring, and neither is February. I think spring does start in March. I don't have my calendar. I never was any good at remembering those dates. But anyway, after the first of the year, let's say it that way, I think the presidential race will begin in earnest. I wonder who will be the first to jump into the fray. I think we have heard for sure that Joe Biden's going to be in on it. Who else have we had? I think we know for sure that John Edwards is going to be in on it. Do you think that John Kerry will try? We heard today that Bill Frist is not going to. who the hell was he to think he had a chance in that anyway? Slim none would have been his chances in that. I never did understand that. He was not all that popular as a Senate Majority Leader, and not all that popular with the American people. I always wondered how the hell he thought he could ever get to be President of the United States. It takes quite an ego to think that you can be president of the United States, and make no mistake about it. When you watch the presidential debates, and like last year, what was it? We had 10 Democrats up on the stage, 8? I forget how many it was, but every one of those people has a massive ego, and same thing on the Republican side. I'm talking massive. No matter how good old country boy John Edwards, or how laid back this guy or that guy or General Clark or any of these people, no matter how ordinary that you think these guys might be, a guy that you might like to have a beer with or sit down and play canasta with some evening, these people have massive, monstrous, huge egos, every one of them. The ones you like the most, even, you'd have to have one hell of an ego to think that you could be the President of the United States. And I had Mario Cuomo tell me that one time. I had him on the program, and I asked him, Mr. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, I was always disappointed that you didn't make a run for the presidency. And he said, I just never could bring myself to believe that I was big enough, good enough, whatever, to be President of the United States. And I was really surprised that he said that, because let's face it, to be a governor, you probably have to have a hell of a big ego as well. But he just doesn't come off that way. I know a lot of them don't come off that way, but he said that, and I thought, well, okay, I'll buy that. I can understand that. Certainly it wouldn't have come from any insecurities or anything like that, but I was somewhat taken aback when he told me that. I thought there would be some other reason. One of the most gracious men that I've ever talked to, most certainly. Do you know that he remains today the only big shot that's ever called me after a program and thanked me for having him on, and just was so nice, and really, really was sincere. I mean, you get email from the people and all that, but he actually called me after that show and said, "Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it and all that." And you know, people just don't do that this day and age. So I was, needless to say, very impressed, and remained very impressed by Mario Cuomo. Damn, I do think he would have made a fine president. I think his intellect is huge. And great guy to go along with it. Very brilliant man. I would hope to see him on the Supreme Court some of these days. We're going to pause for the news at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. It'll be painless. It'll only be 5 minutes worth of news. And we expect you'll be waiting for us when we get back. You're listening to The Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back in just a shade over 5 minutes.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has just arrived in Jordan for talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, which have been postponed now until tomorrow, though the president still plans to meet with Jordan's King Abdullah tonight. Because of the scheduled Bush-Maliki meetings, Iraqi Shiite politicians loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr have, as promised, resigned from the Iraqi government in protest. The 30 lawmakers and six cabinet ministers say Maliki should be talking to the U.N. Security Council rather than President Bush. Further complicating matters is a classified memo by National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, which was obtained and printed by the New York Times, and which questions Maliki's ability to bring stability to Iraq. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is planning to move several thousand U.S. troops to Baghdad from other locations in Iraq to help stem the escalating violence there. And the Pentagon also reportedly preparing an emergency spending request for between $127 and $150 billion to cover the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as other military operations connected to the Bush administration's war on terror. In Iran, a summit between President Ahmadinejad and Iraqi President Jalal Talabani has produced a security agreement between the two countries. The NATO meeting in Latvia has ended with a pledge that NATO troops will remain in Afghanistan until peace and stability has been restored there. But France, Germany, Italy, and Spain say they will not send troops to southern Afghanistan, the most dangerous part of the country. Pope Benedict continues his visit to Turkey, where today he visited the town believed to be the last home of Mary, the mother of Jesus. A federal judge in Los Angeles has ruled that President Bush had no authority to designate certain groups as terrorists, as he did in an executive order following 9/11. The judge says that order, which resulted in 27 groups being labeled in that way, is too vague and is unconstitutional. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says he will not be running for president in 2008 after all. He says his time as an elected official has come to an end. He leaves the Senate next month. Incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has decided against naming Florida Congressman Alcee Hastings to be chair of the House Intelligence Committee. He was next in line after she passed over California's ranking Democrat on the committee, Jane Harman. But Hastings was impeached when he was a federal judge, and critics have suggested it would be a mistake to name him to such a sensitive post. Next in line after Hastings is Silvestre Reyes of Texas. And more winter weather for the Pacific Northwest, where the Seattle area is bracing for another 3 inches of snow and a new record for the wettest November in history. This is the Quality News Network. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour. Science and business news coming up next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments today on whether the Environmental Protection Agency has the power to regulate carbon dioxide emissions. The Bush administration claims it does not. Nestle, the world's largest food maker, may be adding Gerber Baby Foods to its business. Nestle is offering $5 billion for the baby food maker, which is owned by Swiss pharmaceutical company Novartis. The city of San Diego is saying no to Walmart, the city council of the nation's eighth largest city, voting 5-3 last night to ban any stores larger than 90,000 square feet, which use less than 10% of that space to sell groceries and other items not subject to sales tax. Walmart Supercenter stores are typically twice that size. Drug maker Pfizer says it's cutting 2,200 sales jobs, or about 20% of its sales force, by the end of this year. A California judge has temporarily barred an alliance between the San Francisco Chronicle and Media News Group, saying a collaboration between the two competitors could violate antitrust laws. Media News Group already owns most of the newspapers in the Bay Area. And ticket prices at the 2008 Beijing Olympics have now been set. They'll range from a low of $3.82 to a high of $638 when they go on sale next year. Lightsweet crude oil is trading up $1.11 a barrel this hour at $62.10. All the markets are higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 53 points at 12,189. NASDAQ is up 9 at 2421. And the S&P 500 up 8 at 1394. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, we're back. And hope you're all back, too. Let me see how many is there. One, two, three, four. Everybody raise your hand, okay? little craziness here. Glad to have all of you along with us here this afternoon. We do enjoy meeting with you on the days that we're on here. We most certainly do, is on the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned, because there's a lot of good programming coming up after this on Head On Radio Network. So that, I think we have somebody on the line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. Timber in Durham, North Carolina. How are you?
How are things in Durham today?
Beautiful. It must be about 70 degrees outside. I'm sitting out on the porch with my dogs.
Excellent.
Two quick things. First, listening to you, it was a great recap of your presidential history there, but I was wondering, do you think that Bush is incompetent, or do you think he's a knowing accomplice in all this and that he is a criminal? Because you can't impeach somebody for incompetence.
Well, I actually think he's both, and I don't want that to sound like a cop-out, because it isn't. When I first saw the guy, I really thought that he was just covering up. I really thought that he was couldn't really be as foolish as he seemed. But the longer it's gone on, I think he is as foolish as he seemed. But the thing is, he's akin to the guy that drives the getaway car. He didn't maybe plan the robbery and all, but he's guilty by association with these people. And I certainly wouldn't be in favor of letting him off just because he's stupid. I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he's complicit, just as complicit as anybody in this. I hope I'm not wrong, but I. It doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I guess, but I do think Dick Cheney is the central figure in all this, but I do believe Bush has been more than willing as an accomplice. But, you know, he's one of those guys that, you've seen guys like him. There'd be a whole gang of guys, and there's always one in the group that'll go along with anything you tell them.
Right.
And
I tend to think that he is ignorant and incurious and inarticulate, but that he is clever, and that I think he does know what's going on. And one reason I think that, you think about like a field commander, like a field commander in World War One, or maybe in the Civil War, sending your troops against an entrenched position and realizing after it that it was a terrible mistake. And those men generally would feel remorse. I don't think George Bush feels any remorse for the losses in Iraq, and that's why I think he is pretty cold and calculating, and he just thinks it's the cost of doing business.
Well, I think you're right. I think he's cold and calculating as well. I just don't think he's very smart about it. I mean, yesterday, that crack he made yesterday, I wonder if I let out a gasp when I hear him say things. I think I must. You know, when he said that about all the sectarian violence being caused by the Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
I think he's got, if he believes that, he's got to be the only guy in the entire world that believes that. It's things like that. You know, I'd agree with what you say and actually have myself believing that. And then all of a sudden he comes up and says something like that. And I'm going, now, wait a minute. You couldn't believe that, but yet somehow I think he does. I don't know.
Well, even Jefferson and Washington and our greatest president said a lot of things they didn't necessarily mean when they were playing to the crowd. I mean, those two were publicly religious, but privately not very religious. But that's why the religious right can refer to like a campaign speech by Jefferson as some sort of a proof of his religious fundamentalism, when in his private writings he was anything but.
Yeah, exactly. You're right on there, anything but.
And I think Bush constantly harps on the war on terror theme just because that's what made him as a president. He cannot let that go without losing all his credibility.
He still remembers standing under standing on the deck with that little flight suit on, doesn't he? He sees himself as the great savior, as the military hero, all that stuff. A war president.
Yeah. And standing on the rubble at the World Trade Center with the bullhorns saying that he hears you and soon the whole world will hear you. And yeah, I mean, that's what made him as a president. If 9/11 hadn't happened, what would history record about George Bush?
Well, you have to admit he was right. The whole world has heard us, and not the way that we had hoped. That's
for
sure.
Word.
No.
Thanks a lot, guy.
Hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Who could have guessed? I don't know, when he was standing on top of the pile of rubble with that fireman in New York. What a political moment that was. And, God, we know how they've used that since. You talk about propaganda mill, why they've used that 1,000 times, that image. But that's not the real George W. Bush. That man who stood on top of that pile, I don't think is the real George W. Bush. Not at all. And I agree with what the caller just said. I think he is cold and calculating. I just think that some of it's just not real. I mean, he it's not smart, I guess is what I want to say. He sits around and schemes, and his whole family has sit around and schemed and try and think of it. But, you know, the thing is, they've never had to worry, the Bush family, that if they did something wrong, because what the hell? I mean, you look at Daddy, he was involved in Iran-Contra affair up to his ears. What happened to him over that? Nothing. You look at Neil Bush. There's a guy that ought to be in prison today. Absolutely should be in prison. If it were you and I had done what he did, we'd be in prison today. You look at Junior Bush and his insider stock trading. And it actually went before the FCC and mysteriously was all covered up. He would have been fined and had some sort of a record, but he wasn't. So, you know, this is a family of criminals, pure and simple. This is a family of criminals, and because of their station in life, they've skated through their political power, they've skated through and passed any problem that's ever gotten in their way. And that's why they're such a vicious bunch. Absolutely vicious. Because you don't want to get in their way. You absolutely don't want to get in your way or you'll get run over. And don't think that people that speak out against this administration and this Bush crime family, as our good friend Mike likes to always put it, and that's exactly what it is. Don't think people that there hadn't been reprisals and for one moment, and don't think that everybody that does speak out doesn't look over their shoulder a time or two now and then, because they are merciless people. They are criminals. They've had their way with the American people for many years now, starting back with Grandpa Bush, with his affiliation with the Nazis. Made millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And like I said, I've told you about the rest of them here. So they're a Prescott Bush all the way through today is a family of criminals. If it was any other family, you can bet that people would be busting rock doing time. But not with this family, because they've amassed the political power to keep themselves out of the penitentiary. And a lot of people might not like, you know, saying that, but that's how I feel. That's exactly how it is. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, this is Sarge. How you doing?
Hey, Sarge, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there, man. Feeling pretty good about my Eagles, though. We won game against Marshall 42-7, and we go to seek our fifth Conference USA championship Friday night.
All right, go Eagles.
So we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about Bush and his administration, but the amount of things that these people have done, of course, Iraq probably is their biggest moment of failure. Although I say that with a little hesitation because 9/11, you know, that was a moment of failure for them. You know, they ignored the intelligence that was, you know, being told to them, hey, you've got to do something. There's something going to happen, you know. And Ashcroft saying, I don't want to hear any more about it. And, you know, all of this. I mean, it's just, you know, that day alone was, you know, just a day of their total incompetence. And now you look at Katrina and you look at Iraq. You look at what they've done to the economy. You look at the NSA wiretapping and that ruling came down today. My God, what does it take? I mean, if these people cannot be impeached, then you might as well just take that out of the Constitution because nobody can ever be impeached if these people get away with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm 100% in agreement with you. If they don't deserve it, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, they have committed so many crimes and so many people have died and suffered from these rotten, filthy, stinking slime. And that's what they are. They're slime.
Yep.
And, I mean, I have been down to Jackson County. I've seen what happened down there. I can imagine what it's like in Iraq. You know, and I just, good God almighty, what's it going to take? I mean, what's it going to have to do? They've stolen the treasury. They've made us the laughingstock of the world because Bush is such an imbecile, and we're still talking like we want to invade Iran.
Yeah.
And then you got Rush Limbaugh with his BS saying that, oh, let's nuke them all. Let's just blow them all out.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer. Right.
I mean, good gracious. And then who was it? McCain wanting to send more troops.
Right.
Let's reinstall Saddam.
Yeah.
And now here's the one that really was great. I forget who said it, but they said, we need to occupy Iraq. Excuse me. I thought we already did.
Excuse me. Oh, man. We need to occupy Iraq. Well,
I mean, how can you possibly, how can anybody listen to an idiot that makes a statement like that? I wish I could remember the guy's name that said it. But how in the world could anybody who would be so stupid as to say we need to occupy Iraq be taken seriously as a politician, and yet this guy is one of the leaders in our Congress?
Shucks, so whoever thunk it. occupy Iraq.
I mean, yes. Guy, you and I, you know, at least those second graders on 9/11 in that school, they knew Bush had that book upside down, you know. And I think they could have done a better job on this Iraq thing than Bush and his crew of goofballs have done. I mean, I looked at it and I said, what are you doing, leaving ammunition dumps unguarded? You're letting them loot. You're breaking up the army. Good gracious.
Yeah.
That's against everything that anybody with just 30 days of military service would know.
That's right. That's right.
It's just, I mean, and why, I mean, I've asked Nancy Pelosi's office this, and I want to ask John Conyers, but why would you dare say impeachment's off the table when, my God, what more can they do?
You know, I'm only hoping that was a political ploy so that the public would look at that and some of the crossover votes, you know, independents would say, okay, they're not in this for revenge. But I think they got to know that when the hearings start, that there's going to be so much filth come forth about so many things about these people. I think they know that the public will demand that impeachment be put on the table.
Well, you see, of course, I've talked to Pelosi and Clyburn's office, and they've told me to be ready to get a subpoena to testify before a hearing. So, you know, maybe, you know, that is what they're planning. I'm hoping it is, because just what they have done in Jackson County, Mississippi, is enough that they not only should be impeached, they should be, well, I hate to say it, but they ought to be put to death.
It's a mess. I really believe once they start digging, once they get under the surface and a lot of this comes to light and sees, Sarge, there's going to be a lot of controversy come up about money. I mean, there isn't any doubt about that.
Well, and, I heard from a friend of mine in Bay St. Louis, and did you know to this very day they still do not have a grocery store in Bay St. Louis rebuilt?
Wow.
But they got the casino rebuilt.
Well, that's another matter. People need that, you know.
I mean, these guys, they couldn't be any worse. And you got this group Swan, I believe their name is, who has really just embezzled funds out of this Katrina deal. Look at Halliburton out of Iraq. Look at all of, good gracious. I mean, what?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of headlines about that kind of thing. I really think you are. And and you know, now that we're in control, they're better. Well, you know.
I'm hoping that I will get to testify, because there is so much that's going on here that people don't even know about. I mean, when a four-year-old girl tries to commit suicide because she's sitting there saying, my country has forgotten me, the world has forgotten me, so what the hell is there to live for?
Yeah.
I mean, when a four-year-old says that,
well,
guy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, something's wrong, and if the people of the United States don't give a damn enough to stand up and say, I'm not going to take it anymore, then I worry about our nation, because that is not the nation I served. No. That is not the nation that I go through pain for every damn day of my life. And I am so damn mad, and Pelosi and them better do something, because, good God, these people are running our nation.
Well, we're going to stay after him. You know that. I know you will. I know I will. I know all of our listeners will. And we've been talking about that the past couple of days. We will stay after him.
Well, Guy, I'm going to let you go, and good luck to the Buckeyes.
Hey, thanks, Sarge.
All right.
Bye now. And let's go over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Every day I think I'm not going to call you. You get my brain to working. I enjoyed your meandering through history with the presidents. That was very interesting.
Well, that's just what I remember, you know. I sit down and I start thinking about it, and that's what I remember. I probably left some things out, but I...
Oh, well, of course. I mean, but I would like to tell you a few things that I've come to realize, I believe, about Carter and as a president, and see what you think, if you don't mind.
Why, sure.
Well... I'm going to start with Nixon. When Nixon was in, of course, I couldn't stand him then. I've kind of grown fond of him now since we got what we got. But anyway, the price of the, I started this job and I made 88 cents an hour, and that was over the minimum wage.
Wow.
And it wasn't, you know, it was enough to pay my bills. That was it. But anyway, within the next few years, prices on everything tripled. On everything. Groceries, everything. Houses, cars, everything tripled. And also, you know, they talk about Carter's gas shortages. But let me tell you what happened. during Nixon's time down here, I don't know if it was this way all over, but we had such a gas shortage, and this is when he was in office, till they would let us off from work to go. We would have to go on odd and even days or however your tag was. And I remember one time I used a high test in my car, and when I wait, you had to wait in a line, these long lines. And I got up there and they ran out. I got my gas, and from then on I used just regular gas because it was in better supply, more plentiful supply. And another thing about the prices, about the inflation that Jimmy Carter had, was that yes, the interest rates were out of sight. Way out of sight.
Oh yeah.
But the difference was, even then, like the price of the house was a whole lot lower, way lower.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you were able to pay a little bit, you know, get some off of your interest, you could cut down on that. But on principle, you can't cut it down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And another thing I've thought for a long time, that maybe he wasn't a very good president. He was a wonderful guy. But you know what? Now I'm getting, this is what I would like to ask you about. Now I'm getting to think that we would have gotten an alternative energy if he'd gone back in.
Well, that's entirely possible. So, yeah, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, people talk about how high the interest rates was, and that's true. But the price of something was way lower than it is now. I mean, things tripled during Nixon's time, but they've gone up to maybe 100 times now, in a way.
Well, in many ways, yeah. You bet.
But you think that he was a lot better president than he's been made out to be?
Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Carter is probably one of the finest men we ever had
yeah.
as president.
Yeah.
I think some things that go around and come around in circles came around and bit him. And I'm not saying he necessarily was a great president or anything. He made some decisions that weren't so great. But
yeah.
also, he had things he had the cyclical nature of things working against him. And I just
yeah.
don't think there was any way out of it for him. I really
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, if he'd have gone in, you think it would have been lame duck and all like that?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
I don't know. I've just been thinking about it. Maybe I didn't give credit where credit was due because I wasn't paying a, you know, I was busy working and I was a single mother and everything. And anyway, you know, maybe I just didn't know all the facts.
Yeah.
But I would like to say that, you know, people bring up about the interest. It does make a difference when the principal is lower. It does, even when you have that high principal, of interest.
Yes, yes.
And I had it. But anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Hey, I don't want to say the whole thing, but your email address, is it still the Tampa Bay thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Somebody on the chat room asked, and so I'm going to give it to them, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
All right.
I haven't been able to tune back into that. I have that. I don't know. I got a problem. Maybe I could talk to the guy that runs it or something.
Okay.
The talk thing.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, let me stop for a quick break, and I'll attend to that. Somebody asked me for some email addresses, and then after that, we'll also talk about some folks where you're listening from. We got a pretty good list of them here. The Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're back, and as I promised you, let me get the old email out here. I told you we'd let you know where some people, we ask early on in the program today, let us know where you're listening from, and let's just go down through a few of these. We won't have time for very many of them, or too many of them anyway. Well, I got plenty of time, but let me see. This one here is George from London, Ontario, Canada, streaming via The Horn. Thank you, George. Thanks for listening. He wrote a good note here a while back about Glenn Beck, and he's talking in here about that. Our good friend Bob Kincaid read it over the air. Yeah, we think the same about Glenn Beck, that's for sure. And let's go on down the list here. We got Deborah listening from Prince George's, British Columbia, Canada. Let me tell you, the rest of you, if you've never been to B.C., wow. Wow. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. Oh, I rode my motorcycle to Alaska one time. And, yes, I did. When the Elkan Highway was still a stone road, I will say. 1,200 miles of stone road. You can imagine how that bike looked when I got back. But anyway, I took the inside passage back to Vancouver. And what a beautiful, wonderful trip that was on a freighter, not a cruise ship, but it was still a wonderful trip. And anyway, I've had a chance to ride around B.C. on a motorcycle quite a little bit, and I must say I really, really enjoyed that gorgeous place. Oh, God, the Northwest is so beautiful. And let me see. Now, how about this? We got George from Canada. We got Deborah from British Columbia, Prince George. Can't talk. We've got Mark Mark is from Hamilton, Ontario, where a city of about 500,000, and I know where Hamilton is. Been there, about an hour's drive from the U.S. border. That's right. And so, all right. Said I've been a fan since you came back on the air. I've never called in before because I'm way too shy, but I love your show and I listen every day. Well, hey, I'm shy as well. And that's from Teresa from Hamilton, Ontario. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you very much. And let's go on down through here. We got Ramsey from Philadelphia. Thank you, Ramsey. He's a pretty cool note here. We've got, who we got here? Jeannie from, where is this? I'm scrolling down through here. Charleston, South Carolina. Here we are. We've got Darren from Kansas City. And I think I mentioned we got Brandon from Lincoln, Nebraska. I've been to Lincoln. Cornhusker territory. Yes, indeed. They know what big-time football is as well, the University of Nebraska, just like we Buckeye fans do. And we got Dave from and Alice listening in Eureka, California. Who else we got here? Got Shelley from Denver. Says near Denver. I don't know why they don't put their real whole thing on there. But anyway, and we got we've got Sybil here from Evanston, Illinois. I know that's where Northwestern is. That's a suburb of Chicago. And Gene from Madison, Wisconsin. And we've got Colonel Charette from Universal City, Texas. Colonel Charette now and then sends us an email, and Colonel, I appreciate it very much. He's a retired U.S. Air Force fighter pilot. How about that? 31 years active duty, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. No spring chicken, Colonel Charette, but appreciate hearing from him. And Vic from Dallas. So that's all we'll go through of those right now, and I do appreciate hearing from all of you folks very, very much. It's always a pleasure to open up the email and see where everybody's from. I do enjoy that so much. Somebody's asking me, motorcycle to Alaska. When I was 21, it was a very good year. Somebody asked on the chat room here, I can always count on Corey Stone to ask good questions. Hey, guy, have you discussed the DODD issue with putting off the Military Commissions Act until there's a new confirmed Secretary of Defense? No, we haven't discussed that. I think it makes sense, and I tell you the truth, I haven't delved very deeply into that, but I think it makes a lot of sense. It really does. I think something that doesn't make sense, if they're going to install Hadley in the to take over from Rumsfeld, not Hadley, what's his name from Texas? Well, anyway, he's going to take over for Rumsfeld. They're going to wait until after the first year, and the only reason they're going to do that is so Rumsfeld will have been able to break the record holding that job longer than anybody else. Damn, I think any time he's in there one more day is too much for me, way too much for me. I'll be so glad to see Rumsfeld gone. I don't know what his successor is going to be like. He can't be worse than Donald Rumsfeld. Nobody could be worse than Donald Rumsfeld, in my opinion. I don't know, but that's what I think. 866-546-5254. We've still got a few minutes in the program. You can give us a call, and I hope you do. You know, I when we get all of our new elected leaders in there the first of the year, I believe the time has really come for the good people of the United States to demand accountability from their elected leaders. And I really think it's time for those of us who love this country and what it stands for, at least what it used to stand for, to say enough is enough. And if you revere the Constitution and the rule of law, you finally got to say to yourself that the time has come to demand the removal of George Bush and Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and Condoleezza Rice. We probably can't do anything about Karl Rove or Rice, but Bush and Cheney, and literally anyone who signed on to this administration policy of lying and propagandizing the American citizens. It's really time to remove them from their positions of power and turn this government over to someone who has the best interests of the United States of America in mind, instead of somebody wanting to, nothing more than to make the White House the seat of some sort of unlimited power that they can use to dominate all the branches of the government for the sole purpose, and let's face it, that's what it's all about in this particular group, the sole purpose of enriching those who put them in office. I watched that Red State the movie the other day, and as I might have mentioned yesterday, my God, when they start talking about the massive, massive corruption going on in Iraq with the contractors, it's just too wild. That was in the one Iraq for Sale. I don't want to mix those up. Red State the movie is something altogether different. We're going to have producer of that on tomorrow, Michael Shea. You'll enjoy that a lot, I'm sure. But if you haven't seen Iraq for Sale, please do, because there are things in there that are incomprehensible. People from Halliburton, management people from Halliburton, being provided in Baghdad with Cadillac Escalades to drive. The cost-plus thing that they do, whereby the more money that's spent, the more profit they make, and so they try and spend as much as they can and waste as much as they can to drive up the expenditures in order to drive up their profit. It's really so out of bounds that if you tell this story, you do your research on it, and you tell it to somebody, an average American, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you. When you tell them that, for example, Chevrolet Suburban, it's an expensive vehicle, and you can get them up to, what, $45,000, okay? How much would you pay on the lease for a Chevrolet Suburban? You know how much Halliburton charged the government for them through their own leasing company? $3,600 a month each. What do you think? Is that fraud and corruption? As I mentioned yesterday, the cola being produced in Iraq, no big shipping charges involved, charging the government $48 a six-pack of cans, 12-ounce cans, $48 a six-pack. I could go on and on. Computer crashes, throw it away. Throw it away. They've got Cadillac Escalades over there, the most expensive ones that you can buy, loaded with everything on them. You have a flat tire, push it into the dump and burn it. Semi-trucks, brand new semi-trucks with tankers on them. Get a flat tire on the road from Kuwait to Baghdad. What do? They blow it up. They send the Blackwater security people over there, again, a cost-plus thing. Send them over there, keep them at a lavish, unbelievably lavish resort in the Middle East, and tell them to spend all the money they can spend while they're there. Because, again, it's a cost-plus thing. And every single one of these companies has got somebody running it, managing it, or the major stockholders in it. It's got a direct line right to Dick Cheney. He's right in the middle of all of this. They can't get these hearings going soon enough, believe me. They just can't. And you know, I realize that ridding ourselves of these dreadful, deceitful, vile group of people is probably going to cause some temporary pain for our country, and of course it will. And they're going to fight their removal. They'll fight it with down to their last breath, and they'll seek to further divide our nation. They'll behave as desperate rats, having been cornered. It's to be expected of people like these to put their self-interest ahead of the well-being of our country. They always have, and they always will. And why have I now become so passionate about throwing these people out of these positions? It's simple, really, because I've never trusted any of them. I don't hate them. Well, a couple of them I do. But I never trust them to work for the good of America. And now that it's come to light that Bush and Cheney had planned from even before being sworn into office to go to Iraq, that's really long ago. That was the last straw for me when we found that out. And we've got incontrovertible proof that everything they ever said about Iraq was a lie. Proof. Not conjecture. Actual proof. That from day one of Bush's administration, he planned to take us to war. We had Richard Clark tell us that. We've had a lot of people tell us that. Think of all the lies that have been told by him, Cheney and the others. And they keep right on going with these outrageous lies. You remember there a few months back when Bush Jr. feigned this righteous indignation to the press corps after Helen Thomas asked him about his reasoning to go to war? Oh, no, Helen, I didn't want to go to war. That's the last thing I wanted to do. You remember that? Said it would, told her it was the final option after exhausting all other avenues. Oh, I would never send our young men and women into battle unless there was no other choice. Is this an example of a pathological liar or what? You know, this war is an ugly debacle. It's for us and the Iraqis. It's even worse for them. And it was never going to be any different. Our credibility with the world is down the drain. And so I think our new Democratic Congress can start putting this house back together again. And the way they can do that, the way they can establish some credibility with the world, is to show the rest of the world and the American people that we will not put up with that kind of behavior from anybody. President, vice president, I don't care who. Nobody is above the law in this country, and we need to prove that to our citizens and to the rest of the world. Therefore, when we get the committee chairs and we control the House and the Senate, we better get down to business right away and start these investigations. I'm not saying it's going to lead to impeachment. I hope it does. I hope and pray it does. There's nothing I'd like to see any more than these people being humiliated and run out of Washington forever. There's nothing that could be much better for this country to see the Bush clan, their political aspirations come to an end forever. So that Jeb doesn't have a chance, so that his kid doesn't have a chance, so hell, even the twins don't have a chance. Which, from the latest news that we've had from them, I guess they don't have a chance anyway. Maybe in Hollywood. Well, I'm surprised they don't go hang around with Britney Spears and that Hilton girl. That'd be a nice little group right there, don't you think? But I shouldn't go there now, should I? Well, you suppose that's a true story? You know, I don't talk about them, but there was so much in the news about them here in the past few days. Suppose that's a true story about them asking them to leave, where was it, Argentina? I wonder. But I really think that we need to set an example, and we need to show the rest of the world that we're not kidding around about this, and that he's an absolute pathological liar. And you know, you look at Dick Cheney, and there's a man with no soul. You look into that eyes, the eyes there, and you see nothing but pure evil. Hate to say that about the Vice President of the United States, but it's true. You know it's true. Here we are over there building a $1 billion embassy in Iraq. How much graft and corruption you think is coming out of that baby? And here we got the Iraqi people every day seeing that they don't have water, they don't have electricity, they don't have the air conditioning, they don't have any safety whatsoever, and yet there we are spending $1 billion on a new embassy with the largest swimming pool in Iraq, with all the luxuries you could want, a theater, this and that. I believe it's on 102 acres. What do you think the Iraqi people think when they look around and see not a damn thing's getting done to rebuild their country? I'm talking nothing. And yet, the work behind those walls building that new embassy is coming off at a feverish pitch. Oh, it's right on schedule. Right on schedule. $1 billion worth for a new embassy. Now, were we ever planning on getting out of there? It's the largest embassy in the world. In Baghdad? One might think the largest embassy in the world might be in Russia. It could be in China. It could be in Great Britain. In Baghdad? Baghdad? I wonder. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil up in Daytona Beach. How you doing?
Hi, Phil.
Hey, glad you're talking about this, and that is real. The embassy and the bases are all right on schedule. The Iraqis still have, what, a couple hours of electricity a day and dirty water, and it's outrageous. And I think all of us should be outraged, and we're not yet. Those of us who are hip to it are, but we've got to spread the word. There's one thing I did want to mention. I just tuned in. I don't know if you mentioned it already, but Nancy Pelosi has called all the Democrats together for a meeting this coming Tuesday, December 5th, to talk about Iraq.
Oh,
and
good.
Here's our chance, folks out there in radio land, to get on the telephone, get on the fax machines, get on the emails, and let's pepper these Democrats in Congress before this meeting with Pelosi on Tuesday the 5th and say, let's get our kids the heck out of Iraq now.
Yes. Yes.
I do want to mention this website, Guy, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
It's triple W, the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, dash, action. .org, and all the information you could want about this is on that website, and we really need to just, hey, if you can give 5 minutes to pick up the phone and tell these Democrats before they meet with Pelosi, get our guys out now.
Well, we got to stay on them. A lot of them know doggone well that's why we sent them there.
Exactly.
That's why we sent them to Congress, and we've got to make it...
They know it, but they're not going to act on it unless we really make them act on it. You know, Guy, you've seen this forever.
Yep. The politicians, sometimes you got to keep, you just got to take a club to them. Just keep them going. But
man, I'm glad your program's on the air.
Well, thank you. We enjoy doing it, and try and keep everybody informed as best we can and all that. I've been looking into this embassy thing for a while now, and I'll tell you, it's incredible. It really is. They've got 8,000 people working on it.
Obscene.
Yeah.
It's obscene. And, you know, if you folks want proof that this media, this television newspaper, magazine is owned by the same people making these wars. The fact that so many don't know about this, I mean, turn off that damn TV, people. Stop feeding it. Stop supporting it.
Well, it's you know, we're faced with the fact that a handful of people.
Yeah.
Control the world. I mean, that's the way it is. They're the ruling class, and we're not.
They're showing their rear end now, though, Guy. You know, somebody's pulling the curtain. You know.
Yeah, that's right. The old Wizard of Oz thing.
Pay attention to that man behind the curtain.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
I did want to say one other thing. I'm a member of the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace, which is, you know, over 20 years old. Our organization. Made up of both wartime veterans and peacetime veterans and non-veterans who can join as associate members. And I was on the phone with one of the biggest chapters in the country today up there in Minnesota telling them about the horn. And if you're listening, guys, welcome to the horn. I think you got some new listeners up in Minnesota now.
Very good.
Thanks for everything,
thank you.
Guy.
Thanks very much.
You betcha. Bye now.
Maybe that'll be a tourist attraction over in Baghdad. We can go over and be like a big amusement park there. That 104-acre, I guess it was. 104-acre. Imagine that. That's really hard to comprehend. It really is. 104 acres of... Wow. And $1 billion. Lots of things in Iraq are behind schedule. Of course, they'd planned on building 150 medical centers. There are six completed. That's not bad, huh? Six out of 150. These are all promises we made to the Iraqi people. They've painted a few schools and fixed up a couple. The U.S. Inspector General's report said there's been $22 billion spent on water, sewage, and electricity, but still at pre-war levels. So they're nowhere close to being back to normal. In Baghdad, in much of Iraq, normal isn't a word that they can even dream of right now. What a shame to live in that kind of condition. As someone on the chat room said, we ought to call that Halliburton Land, that amusement park over there, that 104-acre. Imagine that. Why would you be building a billion-dollar embassy in Baghdad, Iraq, if we didn't plan on staying there forever and ever and ever and running that country and sucking all the oil out of there that we can get? Why would we be doing that? Guess you all know the answer to that, really. Well, we're getting down toward the end of the day here. We won't be able to take any more calls. I do thank all of you, especially those of you that sent us an email. Let us know where you're listening from today. I enjoy that. I don't know why, but that just does me good knowing. See, here's another one going up through here. Sharon from Kalispell, Montana. We had one from Browning and one from Kalispell. Lots of gals listening today. Jerry, I don't know where the way this is spelled, whether it's a guy or a gal. From Minneapolis. Here's one from Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Robert, we'll take one quick call here and see if we can... Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill. I got 1 minute.
Okay, listen. Real quick, I was going to say, did you hear anything about that man setting himself alight there in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. I was...
I couldn't believe that. I heard it on the Randy Rhoads show last night, and I guess that's the second person that's done that now.
Yeah, that's what a tragedy that someone, obviously, first of all, you've got to be a little unbalanced to do that, and then secondly, the circumstances that cause it. It's a tough deal.
I've never seen anything on the web or anything about it anyplace until... I heard it on our show, but I just thought I'd mention it to you, Guy.
Yeah, well, it's an awful story. It's an awful story. And
yeah,
and we had that, what was it, Detroit or where? No, I forget where
Chicago.
It was. Yeah, but where was the one where the woman put the baby in the microwave?
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, Guy.
Thank you, Bill. Good to hear from you. There was that story, a whole bunch of horrible stories. God, we have to wonder what's happened to society lately. I hope... we're never going to cure all our ills, but we hope we can get back to some semblance of normalcy here in this country anyway. I want to thank you so much for listening to the program today. I do appreciate it, as I always want to let you know how much I appreciate you listening to the program. I do want to remind everybody once again that it is a listener-supported program. We depend on your contributions to pay for the program. We don't make any money doing it, I can tell you that. We spend a lot of our own money on bringing you this show over the last 4 years. And so you can find a place, our snail mail address and our email, our PayPal address on our website, theguyjamesshow.com. Hey, you're listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And always remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to have... Michael Shea with us, Red State, the movie. You'll enjoy it. See you then.